also Galatians chapter 4. Today, of course, is what is known in the United States as Father's Day. The history of both Mother's Day and Father's Day really goes back to 1907. In 1914, the United States Congress declared Mother's Day a national holiday. However, Father's Day has had a much more difficult road. In 1913, national recognition of the day was introduced to Congress, and it was voted down. 1924, Calvin Coolidge recommended that the day be observed throughout the nation. But because of two previous rejections by Congress, he stopped short of making a national proclamation. Not until 1966, President Johnson issued the first presidential proclamation honoring fathers, designating the third Sunday of June as Father's Day. And then, 6 years later, 1972, President Nixon signed it into law, making it a permanent holiday. So Mother's Day, 1907, Father's Day, 1972. So much for equality. Also, $23.6 billion are spent on Mother's Day compared to $12 billion on Father's Day. Again, so much for equality. Why is that? I don't know, but I have some thoughts, but I have enough sense not to share them too. We are to honor, we are to appreciate, we are to love our fathers, not because of a day that has been set aside, but because the Word of God instructs us to do so. God instituted marriage between a man and a woman. The foundation of the family unit, male, female. He told them to be fruitful and multiply. He also determined the inner structure of the home. And it involves husband, male, and we need to add male by creation, and wife, female by creation. And by God's design, both fathers and mothers bring ingredients into the home that are absolutely crucial to the well-being of the home, to the well-being of a child. And together, husband, male by creation, and wife, female by creation, they are a vital force in shaping the lives of children. This is the basic building block of a sane society. The enemies of God know this, and therefore there has been an incessant attack on the family unit. And in this war against the family, many have been convinced. It's changing, but many have been convinced that fathers are expendable parts of the family unit. Don't be deceived. That's not so. Just as mothers are not an expendable part of the family unit. As men, as fathers go, so go nations, so go generations, history, and yes, churches. And fatherhood in American society for decades has been greatly distorted by Hollywood. And we need to realize that fathers are more than a biological necessity. They have a role. They have a vital role in bringing strength and stability into the home. I personally have been richly blessed in that I've had two earthly fathers in my life, my dad by birth and Sharon's dad by marriage. Both had positive impact upon my life, and I have wonderful and enjoyable memories of both. And I love and appreciate them both still today. Amen. And still seek to honor them. But in this message, we're not going to speak of our earthly fathers, though we are thankful for them. I want to speak of God as our Father. In Romans chapter 8, verse 15, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Galatians 4, verse 6 says basically the same thing. Galatians 4. And verse 6. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son," that would be Jesus, "into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." Both of those verses speak of the saved and the relationship to the Lord. They both use the phrase, Abba, Father. Those are not words that we use today, but really they are. Because Abba simply means my Father, Abba, Father. In both of these verses, there is the blessed assurance of knowing God as our Father. Abba, Father. Christ used the very same two words in Gethsemane. Mark 14, verse 36. He said with much assurance and confidence, Abba, Father. So the term occurs three times in the Word of God. The title Father is attributed to God throughout Scripture. And I believe that all human fatherhood should be patterned after the fatherhood of God. If you want to know what it is to be a father, look at God. The fatherhood of God. There is no higher pattern. Abba, Father. My Father. What a blessing to be able to look up to heaven and to say with absolute assurance and conviction, Abba, Father. My Father. And that is our subject my Father. My Father. Now notice that the word Abba, A-B-B-A, whether you read it forward or backward, it's still the same. Abba. Forward or backward. Abba. I believe that that signifies no matter what, He's always my Father. No matter what. Abba Father. No matter what or when, Abba Father. My Father. My Father. What a blessing. Again, I've been blessed with two wonderful earthly fathers. But I've been blessed beyond measure that I can, with assurance and confidence in my soul, look to God and say, Abba, Father. My Father. I can tell you, and just like you can to me, I can tell you of fond and loving memories that I have of my earthly father. But again, I want to speak of something far greater and more blessed. I want to tell you of God, my Father. God, my Father. Those words need to grip us. God, my Father. There's a personal relationship. There's a personal intimacy in that statement. Abba, Father. So who is my Father? For all of us that are saved, who is our Father? Well, many think today that if God exists, He is simply some entity distant in the sky, unreachable, unknowable, disinterested, and uninvolved in our lives. But the Bible attributes many characteristics to God. And one of the most personal is that of a father. A father gives being to his children. All through the scriptures we read, so-and-so begat so-and-so. And the so-and-so begat is a man. It's a father. So-and-so begat. It could be what follows. Could be a son. Could be a daughter. And as I look to God today, I can say, Abba, Father. I have been begotten of God. In two ways. First of all, in creation. I have been begotten of God. But more importantly and more meaningfully, by the grace of God in salvation, we have been begotten. A father makes provision for his children. And God provides for every one of us physically. More importantly and meaningfully, He provides spiritually. And I can look to God and say, Abba, Father. A father loves his children. Now, I'm not talking about those who have unnatural affection. I'm talking about a real father. Loves his children and protects His children. And I can look to God and say, Abba, Father. A father takes delight in his children. Not every day, but a father takes delight in his children. And he takes care of the education of his children. With that in mind, I can look to God and say, Abba, Father. A father provides guidance for his children. A father is a good example to his children. And I can look to God and say, Abba, Father. A father is mindful and aware of his children. And I can look to God and say, Abba, Father. A father who loves his children corrects his children by whatever means necessary. And I can look to God and say, Abba, Father. A father is accessible to his children, ready to hear his children. And I can say, Abba, Father. My Father. This is a very profound relationship. With God, it is a permanent relationship. Most of us sitting here, we're pretty close to most of us. Our earthly fathers are no longer on this earth. There is a sense in which it was not a permanent relationship. Not so with God. It is a permanent relationship. All through the Word of God, it is declared that God is. God is. Two simple words. God is. That is, God is, period. He absolutely is. Now there are billions and billions and billions and billions of facts, but this fact, God is the most basic, the most ultimate of all facts. In fact, all facts stop here. God is. God is. What that means is there is nothing underneath to support that fact. God is. There is nothing that exceeds that fact. God is. God absolutely is. And He is my Father. And I can, with a heart overflowing with assurance and confidence, look to Him that is and say, Have a Father. My Father. All of our earthly fathers had or have a date of birth and a date of death. They are mortal beings, just as you and I are mortal beings. But Father God has no beginning. He has no birth date. And having no beginning, He has no end. God did not come into being. And God cannot go out of being. Which brings us back to God is. He is everlasting. He is infinite. He is not limited to space or time. In other words, He's immeasurable. He's incomprehensible. And He's my Father. He's my Father. I'm not talking about mere entity. God is. And He is reality. In fact, there is no reality before God. God is reality. And no matter where you go, God is. And no matter where you go or when you go, God is absolutely there. David declared in Psalm 139, verse 8, if I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. That is, God is. And He's my Father. He went on to say, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. In other words, God is. I can look toward this one who is and say, Abba, Father. My Father. God is. And He is absolutely independent. What I mean by that is He depends upon nothing to give Him being. God is. He depends upon nothing to support or to make Him what He is. He simply is. He's so independent that everything depends totally upon God. So much so that all that is not God is secondary. However important it might be, it's secondary. It's dependent. This is my Father. This is my Father. The entire universe is secondary to Him. God alone is primary. He's greater. He's bigger than all. And no matter what you put, no matter what comparison you make, no matter what you put beside God, He's more. He's greater. He's bigger. He's more in eminence. He's more remarkable. He's more magnificent. He's superior. God is. Now notice in the book of Job, chapter 11. Job chapter 11, verse 9. Verse 7 through 9. Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection? It is as high as heaven. What canst thou do? Deeper than hell, what canst thou know? The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. He's infinite. And He is my Father. The psalmist asked in Psalm 89 and verse 6, for whom in heaven can be compared unto the Lord? The Lord asked in Isaiah 46 and 5, to whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we may be like? And hear God say in Isaiah 40 verse 15, the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust in the balances. So in comparison to Him, here's what God says in Isaiah 66, verse 1. The heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. That illustrates the vastness of God. That illustrates the extensiveness, the enormity, the immeasurableness, the infinity, the significance, the prominence, the distinction, and the greatness of God. And I can say with the utmost assurance and confidence, Abba, Father. Oh, how blessed I am. Here again, the Father say, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. And know that that is an image of the utmost grandeur, an amazing magnificence. speaks of the awe-inspiring majesty of God. And oh, the blessing to be able to say, Abba, Father. God is, and He is constant. He cannot be improved. He's not becoming anything. He is who He is. There is no development in God. There is no progress being made in God. He is absolute perfection. He cannot be improved. And He's my Father. God is. He's the absolute standard of truth, goodness, and beauty. He's the determiner. And oh, how blessed I am to be able to look up and say, Abba, Father. God is. He's the sovereign ruler of all. We read in several places, the Lord reigneth. Always, everywhere, over all things, God rules. And this is my Father. The Lord reigneth. My Father reigneth. God is. And He reigns. And He's my Father. The Lord reigneth. There are no qualifying words establishing boundaries in that statement. There are no boundaries to that statement. The Lord reigneth. It is a statement of absolute universal reign. The psalmist declared in Psalm 103:19, the Lord hath prepared His throne in the heavens, and His kingdom ruleth over all. And He's my Father. And His rule is fixed, it's set, it's secure. He exercises absolute dominion in every realm. And I can look up and say, my Father. He is the absolute authority. Above all and over all. And superior to all. He rules. He's in control. He manages, He directs, He guides, He governs all things. And He does so majestically, and He does so powerfully, eternally, and triumphantly. We read in Isaiah 14:24, the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass, and as I have purposed, so shall it stand. That's my Father. That's my Father. He's all-knowing. He's all-knowing. When I was a little child, I thought my Father knew everything. Then He became very ignorant, didn't know anything. But I have a Father that knows everything. God knows all. His knowledge is eternal. His knowledge is infinite, perfect, and perpetual. There is nothing that my Father is not the answer for. And I can truthfully say, Abba Father. Abba Father, my Father. That needs to occupy our heart and mind. It's what I need to see at all times. My Father. If it ever got a hold of us, what that means, God is our Father. When we prayed and we start our prayers usually, our Heavenly Father, if that ever got a hold of us, we wouldn't get past that. Our Heavenly Father. What a blessing. I want to tell you some things that my Father has done. He's the Creator. Amen. The first words of Scripture are in the beginning. God. The God who is. And the God who is my Father. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. My Father is the one who placed the sun and the moon and the stars and the galaxies and the planets in the sky. And I could tell anyone, see those stars? My Father did that. See the sun? My Father did that. Oh, yeah, how? Oh, he just said, let it be. And it was so. My Father is the one who created the mind-boggling distance of space. He's the one who created the seas, and the oceans, and the lakes, and the rivers, and the streams. By merely speaking. He's the one that set their bounds. By merely speaking. He's the one who created the mountains. Go out west and look at the mountains. My Father did that. He's the one who created the hills and the valleys. He's the one who created the animal kingdom. Go to the zoo. Look at all the animals. Go to an aquarium and look at the fish. My Father did that. Look at all the plants. My Father did that. Tell you something else my Father did. He took the dust of the ground and he formed it and he made man. And he breathed the breath of life into him. Your Father did all of that? Oh, yes. And more. And oh, so much more. How blessed we are to be able to look up to heaven and say, my Father. How blessed we are to look at all of creation and say, my Father did that. My Father did that. It's my Father who sustains all. He's the one who causes the sun to rise every morning. And the one that causes it to set every evening. He's the one who sends the thunder and the lightning. He's the one who sends the wind. He made it. He sends it. He's the one who sends the rain and the snow and the hail. He's the one that causes the grass to grow and the plants to grow. How blessed we are to observe it all and say, my Father did that. My Father did that. Abba, Father. We read in 1 Chronicles 29 and 12 that in His hand is power and might. In Proverbs 22 and or 21 and verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord and He turneth it whithersoever He willeth. That's my Father. How blessed we are to be able to say, Abba, Father. And then we can pick up this book and all through it is things that our Father did. He did the miraculous over and over and over. It was my Father who brought the plagues upon Egypt. It was my Father who parted the Red Sea and brought Israel over on dry ground. It was my Father who fed Israel for 40 years in the wilderness with bread from heaven. It was my Father that led Israel miraculously through the wilderness. It was my Father that made the bitter water sweet and who brought down the walls of Jericho. It was my Father that caused David to defeat Goliath and who used the ravens to bring food to Elijah and who spared the three Hebrews that were cast into the fiery furnace. It was my Father who delivered Israel from captivity and shut the mouths of the lions when Daniel was cast into the lion's den and who brought life to a boneyard in Ezekiel chapter 37. Oh, what my Father can do. What He's done and what He can do. The very fact that God is testimony that He can. My Father can. My Father can. Nothing is too hard for my Father. It is declared in Luke 1 verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. God is. And He is my Father. There's no wilderness so dense and forsaken that He cannot furnish a table, that He cannot give bread, that He cannot provide meat for His people. When no one else can, my Father can. And when there is no humanly way possible, my Father can. When you think or imagine all that you can concerning God's ability, remember what Paul wrote in Ephesians. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Oh, how blessed I am to be able to say with much assurance and confidence, Abba, Father. My Father. Let me tell you something else of my Father. He has rescued countless individuals, innumerable, from the inescapable pit of sin. And He has transformed absolutely hopeless lives. My Father has rescued, and He still does, His wandering children, no matter how far they have wandered. My Father has and still does restore what is lost. My Father has and still does give victory. My Father has and still does fix what is broken and mends what is torn. My Father has and still does calm the storm. And my Father has and still does cure when there's no cure in sight. My Father does all that. He can still take the few and feeble and use them. He can still topple giants. He can still give the increase. You see, my Father can take your nothing and make it something. That's just what He does. And He can still give power to the faint, and He can still make the crooked straight. Oh, how blessed I am to call Him my Father. My Father. He can still carry me. There came a time in our lives where our earthly fathers no longer carried us. That's not true with our Heavenly Father. He can still carry me. There were times in my life when my earthly father had a bad day. And when he had a bad day, that meant I might have a bad day. Not so with my heavenly father. God never has a bad day. Never does. Again, no matter what, God is. God is. And no matter what, He's my Father. Talking to the saved. He sustains me. He watches over me. Every second. He watched over me before I even existed. He provides for me. He surrounds me with His presence. And He excels all things. He is superior to whatever comes into my life. You know, when your children were small, you could fix their problems. It wasn't hard. You could fix their problems. And they get bigger. And the consequences are more severe. If you have any wisdom at all, you come to the realization, I can't fix their problem. Never so of my Heavenly Father. Amen. Never so, because He's bigger than whatever comes into my life. I am needy, but He's sufficient. I am helpless, but He is not. I am weak, but He's always able. I fail over and over and over, and He's faithful. When I'm in the dark, He's the light. When I feel the least secure, He's always the solid rock. Always. It's very difficult, as many of us know. I always considered my dad as a rock. But then disease filled his body, and I came to the realization, He's not. Never so of God. He is the rock. And when I can't, He can. And I can go out there walking with Him, my Father. I can go out there trusting Him. Leaning upon Him. Drawing from Him. And receiving from Him. Oh, how we need to see, to feel, to experience the heart-inspiring, soul-stirring glory of God, our Father. And oh, how blessed I am to be able, with much assurance and confidence, look to God and say, Abba, Father, my Father. And to be able to face life, we don't know what's coming, but I know this. God is. God is. And whatever comes, God is, and He will continue to be. Not only is God is, He's my Father. And I can face life with these words and this assurance, my Father. My Father. We need to put that into practice. My Father, Oh, how blessed we are. Lean upon Him today. Cast all your care upon Him. He's your Father. He's your Father. And you say, well, I'm not deserving. No, you're not. But that doesn't change this fact. God is, and He's my Father. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse 7.